Hello, friends. We looked at the hero of Revelation. Now we're going to look at who is the villain of Revelation. So go get your Bibles and I'll be right back. Welcome back. This is seminar number three, lesson number three. And as I read here, it's a brief review of the book of Revelation. A brief review of the book of Revelation quickly reveals several crucial points. A terrible, deadly, organized conflict between good and evil is taking place on this earth. So the title of this is The Villain of the Drama of Revelation. Now Jesus, the Son of God, powerfully leads the forces of good with love, courage, wisdom, kindness, patience, integrity, gentleness, serenity, sympathy, compassion, tact, and geniality. His leadership style is one of concern and fair play for even his worst enemies. And he is worthy of our worship, for he is our creator and redeemer. Now someone, on the other hand, powerfully leads the forces of evil in relentless, devastating assaults upon Jesus and his people. And that someone, according to the book of Revelation, is the devil and Satan. As a leader, he is militant, venomous, heartless, hateful, and unscrupulous. Yet, incredible as it may seem, he also asks for our worship. Here we are, my friends. Someone that was created that is not mortal, or that is not immortal, wishes to unseat that person which is immortal, someone that has no beginning and no end. Now that, my friends, is insanity in itself. It's crazy. We were created in the beginning with a desire to worship. As it says here, the shocking, sobering facts are that everyone on this planet is this very day either worshiping Jesus or giving homage to Satan. Many pay homage to Satan innocently. They would turn from him in disgust if his evil strategies were exposed. The central purpose of this study is to expose the arch enemy and to reveal Jesus, our Creator, Lord, and Savior. Shocking, isn't it, that we could be sitting there unknowingly, by default, worshiping the devil. And how do we do that? By doing away with God and putting the things of our own ahead of him. So it's important, my friends. It's very important that we worship our Lord, that we focus on God and Jesus, my friends. Now, these are Satan's many titles. Now, what names or titles does Revelation give to Satan? Here we go. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, the devil. Revelation 12 and 9 says, the great serpent, old serpent, devil, Satan. Revelation 12, 10 calls him the accuser of the brethren. Now, Satan is specifically mentioned 55 times in Revelation and is referred to indirectly scores of times as he works through his agents to destroy God's work and his people. Now, where did the devil come from? Where did this villain of the drama of Revelation come from? Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels prevailed not. Neither was there a place found anywhere, any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to start with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day to come before you, Lord, to study your word, to find out who this villain is in the drama of Revelation. We ask you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit and give us spiritual discernment. And may the words spoken here not be my opinion, but your words, Father. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct us in everything and give us spiritual discernment. Thank you so much, Father. This we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Now, number three is this. Why did he leave Satan? As we read in Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9, that he was cast out. Why? Because he sinned. 2 Peter 2, 4 says this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So, who were the ones that were cast out with him? Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And the answer, of course, is his angels. And how many of his angels were cast out? Well, as we read here, One-third of the total of angels was cast out of heaven. There's other passages in the Bible that comment on the subject. Now, Job 38, verse 7 says, the morning stars sang together at creation. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4 shows that one-third fell with Satan. And, of course, 2 Peter 2, 4 confirms that God did not spare the angels who sinned. And Jude 6 says, confirms the angels did fall. Satan has this incredible power, my friends, to deceive and to convince. We must never, ever forget that staying close to Jesus is our only safety, my friends. As long as we walk with him, we've got nothing to worry about. He will protect us. He will guide and direct us in everything, my friends. Now, how did Satan and his angels originate? It says in Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So, Jesus created everything. He also created the angel who introduced sin into the universe. However, Jesus did not create Satan. Satan is a being that Lucifer was transformed into when he chose to sin. Now, it must have torn the heart of Jesus to see rebellion develop in this great and beautiful angel till it separated him from God. So it is today. Sin always brings separation. Sin always brings heartache, sorrow, and woe. But the God who is love gives all of his creatures, my friends, the power of choice. Without that, there is no real love. Real love, my friends, is having the freedom to leave if you wish to leave. You can't sit there and say, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my child, but I have them chained to the bed because I don't want them to leave. Would that be real love? No, it's not real love. Now, what was Satan's name and work before he fell? If you read in Isaiah 14, 12, it says that his name was Lucifer. In Ezekiel 28, verse 14, he was a covering cherub. And how does the Bible describe Lucifer? In Ezekiel also, it says he was full of wisdom and he was perfect in beauty. So what caused Lucifer's fall? Well, because of his beauty, he became lifted up. He said that I will be like the Most High. And as the statement here is this, that it boggles my mind, my friends. It says, how could a created being want to be God? Sin is indeed a mystery. It's like I heard this example one time. Pastor Asherick said that it's like you going into your house and a goldfish tells you, hey, I'm your goldfish. Worship me, worship me. And of course you reply with, worship you? I'm going to eat you. You know, it's insanity, my friends, for him to even think he could do this to a being, like I said, that has no ending and no beginning. The creator of the universe. No way. See, Lucifer, he wanted to rise above it and he wanted to rule over others. Even God. Jesus, by contrast, he took the humble form of a man and he became a servant. Now, if we find ourselves speaking often about me, myself, and I, we need to be careful because that's exactly the way Lucifer's mentality is. Lucifer, like they say, had an eye problem. Now, Revelation reveals his character. This is the character of Satan. Revelation 12:9 says that he deceives the whole world. Revelation 12:10 says he is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 2:10, he persecutes God's people. Now, pause here, my friends. As they give you these verses, please write them down. And, of course, write the question that I ask. And then underneath, you can research the answer on your own. Now, Revelation 2:13 says that he slays God's people. He's a slayer and a murderer. Revelation 12:12 says he has great wrath. He's wrathful. Revelation 12:17 says he makes war. John 8:44 says this, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he is a liar and the father of it. Let's remember that, folks. Now, how far, this is the other question now, write this down, this question now. How far will Satan go to deceive people? If you look up 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 15, these are the points that it makes. In verse 14, it says that Satan appears as an angel of light. Verse 15 says, his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. Now, this is a note here. Satan seldom appears as an evil being. He usually comes disguised as a friend or even a Christian worker. And this, of course, catches people off guard and deceives them. You don't really see anybody coming up to you, hi, I'm here to deceive you. Are you ready for me to deceive you? And you'll say, yeah, sure. No, the thing about deception, my friends, is you don't know when you're being deceived unless you study truth. Unless you study the Word of God, you won't be deceived. As long as you stay in the Word, my friends, and in prayer and communing with the Lord, you won't be deceived. You won't be deceived. Now, can Satan, this is the other question here. Now, can Satan really work miracles? Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14 says this. They are the spirits of devils working miracles. So, yes, he can, my friends, do miracles. He can do miracles. But here's another thing, too, my friends. If the miracles don't jive with God's word, then you need to get out of there. Like it says in Isaiah 8, 14, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. Remember that. Now, how effective are Satan's miracles? Now remember, this is what I said about studying your word. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Like I said here, insomuch that if it were possible, so this tells you one thing, that if you are elect and you have been studying a word, you won't be deceived. Everybody misinterprets this. They say that it'll even deceive the very elect. No. It says here, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Satan is very effective that in the judgment day, many people are going to think that they're saved. But in fact, they're the ones that are going to be lost. So remember that. Now, remember this too. And the question is this. Will Satan quote scripture to deceive? Yes. Yes, he will. If you read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1, 5, and 6, remember when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness? He used scripture. He quoted scripture when tempting Jesus. He misused scripture. And let me tell you something. Misusing the scripture is the devil's best weapon. He will use scripture and twist it around, and it will deceive. He'll use it to deceive you. He'll use truth, commingle it with error, and he will try to deceive you. That's why it's important, my friends. Like it says, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and they're going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we need to stay in the word. Now, who is it that Satan hates? That's the question here. Who is it that Satan hates in these last days? Revelation 12:17 says this. This is a part of the scripture. Write it down. Revelation 12:17 so you can get the answer. It says, those who keep the commandments of God and those that have the testimony of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Here's another question for you. Now, how can I be sure Satan will not deceive me? Isaiah 8:20 says this. Check, I just gave you Isaiah 8:20. Actually, it's to the law, not 8:14. It's to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. So remember, check with God's law and his testimony. Acts 17:11 says that you need to check with God's scriptures. John 7:17 says, if I am willing to obey, God will reveal to me his doctrine. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12, it'll say that I must love the truth. So be careful, my friends, what you believe, because it's a matter of life and death. You need to check everything by the word of God. Now, it's obvious that a shallow knowledge of the scriptures is not going to prevent Satan's deceptions. Also, after much studying, you need to depend on God. Depend on God and his word, my friends. Now, what dangerous animal is Satan compared to? 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 12:12 says this, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." The devil knows that the end of the world is coming. And it's sad to know, it's sad that it's a shame and it's a tragedy that so few people realize the same. That so many people realize the same, that we have a short time. Now, where is Satan finally going to be placed? Revelation 20, verse 10 says this, "And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, what will the fire do to Satan and his angels? You can read it in Ezekiel 28:18. These are little pieces of scripture I'm going to give you. But write the verses down. And what the question is, what will the fire do to Satan and his angels? It's going to turn him into ashes. Hebrews 2:14 says that he will be destroyed by death. And Ezekiel 28:19 says, "Never shalt thou be anymore." So when you read these scriptures, it says that Satan's going to be completely put out of existence. And that's going to be a relief to know that someday the devil will be gone forever. And I want you all to know this, my friends, that we don't have to join Satan in hell. Hell is not for human beings. If you read Matthew 24:41, you see 25 verse 41, you see who it was prepared for. As a matter of fact, let me turn to Matthew 25 verse 41. Matthew 25 verse 41. I'm going to turn there. Matthew 25, verse 41. I'm almost there. I have a new Bible and the pages stick together now. All right. I'm almost there. Give me a little bit of patience there, my friends. Says this. It says here, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It doesn't say that it was prepared for the devil and his angels and people. No, my friends, we don't have to join him there. That fire was prepared for him for that very time. Now, how is it that we could defeat the devil? Revelation 12:11 says this. Now, these are little snippets of the verse, so write the verse down. Revelation 12:11 says, the way we can defeat the devil: by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by being willing to die rather than knowingly disobey God. That's what we need to do, my friends. We can defeat him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by being willing to die rather than knowingly disobey God. Now, coming to the end of this lesson, my friends, since Jesus loved you and died for you, my question is this: will you ask Jesus to control your life? Will you consider your acceptance of Jesus as a Savior a life and death matter? And would you bear testimony to others of his love? Will you share the gospel to others? My friends, Jesus is coming soon. Ready or not, he's coming soon. You can see the signs around us. I watch the news and you see all these heinous things that people are doing to each other. The things that we're living through right now, this pandemic, the love of man waxing cold for one another is ever much increasing. And we have all these things that are at one time used to be immoral are now moral, and those things that are moral are immoral. My friends, Jesus is coming soon, and the devil knows he's running out of time. Now, this study here is a review, of course, of the one we had prior, why is there suffering in our world. But remember, my friends, he's out there and he knows he's got short time. So please, my friends, accept Jesus. And I'm telling you, the blood of the Lamb will cover you. The blood of the Lamb will take care of you. But study your words. Study the word of God, my friends, so that you do not become one of those that are deceived and inadvertently get into the toboggan sled to damnation. You don't want that. You don't want that. Stand by and we'll be back with prayer. Friends, thank you for supporting the podcast, and my prayers are for you and your family in these times that we're going through now. And may these words, Lord, may these words be God's words and not my opinion, my friends. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for letting us come before you, Lord, opening your words and your book and studying. If it wasn't for your word, Father, we wouldn't know anything about our adversary. Lord, we thank you that you cover us by your blood and that your son died for us, God, and gave us the good news of salvation, Father, which is what we need. Lord, I ask you to be with each and every one of us and protect us throughout the week, and so we can come back and study your word once again, Father. I ask you to be with my listeners or anyone out there and their family members and my family members, God, and protect them always. Thank you, Lord, for your words. This we pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, thank you once again for joining me. May the Lord richly bless you. May the Lord hold you in his hand. May he richly embrace you. And may his holy angels protect you. Until then, we'll see you next time. This is Robert. Have a great one. Bye-bye.